Amen. That was good. That was already good. I think we've got enough. Let's close in prayer. Amen. No, that ain't happening. But that was really good. That was great. We're going to take time at the end of the service to pray for Pastor, the group. And let me just put a little word in about open house. Try something this year. Maybe you do this a lot. Ask the Lord to give you, you know, sometimes we look at trying to invite dozens of people. And that's good. And there's nothing wrong with that. But ask the Lord to give you somebody, one person special to invite. That really ask the Lord, God, give me a divine appointment that I could just really hone in. And maybe there's a business, a restaurant, a place that you could just hone in that you and another person, maybe it's a worker at Lowe's or whatever, that you see quite a bit, and maybe do something for them and just kind of like, I want that to be my open house guest. I had something like this. I remember this lady from when I lived here. And I thought, this lady's got the best spirit in the world. And the other day I was back, and I'll tell you where it is in just a minute. And I was back there again, and she's got the same spirit. I mean, she's just the most cheerful person. And I'm thinking, where she works, that would be difficult. Okay, so I don't know if any of you have ever been to the Arco at the corner of M in Sierra. But there is a Hispanic lady there. Her name is Maggie. Maggie has the greatest attitude I have ever seen in a convenience store, okay? So when your gas is over $6 a gallon, it's nice to go in and at least have a really nice lady. So she was talking to every customer, trying to sell cookies and whatever, but she just had such a great spirit. And I had noticed her several times. So I went in and I got a drink from Arco. And so I come up to the counter and she's got her name tag on. So I said, Maggie, can I just tell you, I am a 65-year-old man and I wanted you to know that you are the most cheerful worker in a convenience store that I have ever been in my entire life. Oh, she said, well, thank you so much. And I said to her, I said, Maggie, where do you like to go for fast food? What's your favorite? Oh, she said, I don't know. I'm thinking Polo Loco. She said, no. She said, no. And I mentioned that. And she said, no. She said, I like McDonald's. I like the specialty drinks at McDonald's. And I said, okay. So I went and got a little gift card at McDonald's. And I wrote her a little thank you card on her attitude, put a track in the card. And I wanted to keep going back. I just never got back. And about a week ago, I went back to the Arco and had my little card. And I came in, she recognized me right away. And I said, hi, Maggie. And she said, hi. And so when I got finally up there, it was so good because nobody was around. Nobody was in there. And I said, hey, Maggie, I got a card for you. And I just want to thank you for the attitude that you've had. And like, just like that, she starts tearing up. And she took the card and she said, do you know what today is? And I thought, oh no, her husband, her husband died or whatever, because she didn't look happy. And she says, do you know what today is? And I said, no, Maggie, what's today? She says, today's my birthday. And I said, really? Well, the Lord had me come over right now today to give you your birthday card. And she said, oh, thank you so much. And I said, now listen, I'm going to be preaching October 9th over at Lancaster Baptist, and I want you to come. And she says, I'll see if I can get off then, and I'm going to invite her to open house as well. But I got to tell you, there's opportunities like that to speak to people and ask the Lord for it. Ask the Lord to give you somebody just really special for open house and really work that as well. All right, take your Bibles and turn to 2 Kings chapter number 6. 2 Kings chapter number 6. Tonight, I'd like to have you, our goal tonight is to have a fresh encounter of God's power. And I just want to give you just a little story, just three truths, and we'll have our prayer time right away here. You know, let me read the story, and then I'll tell you. The thing that's amazing about this story, first of all, coming into this story, Elisha has done a lot of major miracles. I mean, we got people rising from the dead. We got nations who have been changed. This isn't like one of those big, big miracles like Elisha's been doing, but I love this little miracle. And there is one truth about it that I really want you to get, that it's going to be just such a blessing tonight. 2 Kings chapter 6, look at verse number 1. I'm going to go ahead and read. And the sons of the prophets, man, the preacher boys, the West Coast Baptist College students, and the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold now, Lawrence is too small for us. Now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. You gotta give us more dorms, man. We're growing as a Bible college. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan and take thence, I love this little statement, every man a beam. Okay, now you get a bunch of preacher boys together and they're all carrying their beam to build a new dorm, all right? So I just guarantee you, college guys, sons of the prophets, who's going to carry the biggest beam, all right? So if you get a beam and you're like, all right, look at their beam. No, they ain't not going to be big enough. Can you imagine what they ended up bringing? Everyone's doing their own part. Everyone's got their own beam. And you couldn't get a better group to carry beams than a bunch of college guys, because they're going to take the biggest beam that they can carry. And it says to take thence every man a beam. I just like that. Everyone's going to have a part in this. Everyone's got their beam. So every man a beam. And let us make us a place there, where we may dwell. And he answered, this is Elisha, go ye, sounds like a great idea, build a new dorm. And one said, hey, Elisha, would you be content? I pray thee and go with thy servants. Elisha, will you come with us? Will you just be with us as we do the building? And he answered, yeah, I'll go with you guys. We'll have a great time at this. This is gonna be good. And verse number 4, so we went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. So they got their beams and they're cutting down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. College students don't own anything. You know, they ain't got nothing. They don't even have an axe. Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick. This would be Elisha. And he cut down a stick. By the way, Hebrew word there, honestly, is tree. And he cut down a stick, a small tree, and cast it in thither. And the iron, don't you just love the King James? And the iron did, everyone together, and the iron did, don't you just love that word? I mean, you see this iron axe head just going through the water, you know? And the iron did swim. Therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I am. Just this spoke to my heart in my time with you a couple weeks ago, and I pray it will speak to the hearts today here. Father, we may not be in sin. We may be doing exactly the things you want us to be doing. And in the course of doing that, sometimes we just seem to lose the power of God. So I would like to ask tonight for the flock at Lancaster Baptist, the some of the college students that aren't in ministry tonight that are in here. Father, may we have a fresh encounter with your omnipotence, with your power. That we would, again, Lord, we don't want to be chopping down trees in ministry without your power. We need the axe head of the power of the Spirit of God in our lives. Father, the difference of living the Christian life with your power and not having your power is such a difference. And Lord, some of us, it's been a while since we've experienced your power. We've been swinging the axe head and there's no head on it. We're just swinging a stick. And Father, I pray tonight that we will see what happened at that River Jordan and what Elisha told them about 3,000 years ago. I pray the Spirit of God would teach us tonight about having that power rekindled in our life. Father, I don't ever want to preach without your power. I don't want to ever teach a class. I don't want to be a husband without your power. I don't want to be a grandfather without your power. So, Lord, I ask tonight that we get our axe head back on and we'd have a fresh encounter with the power of God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And God's children said, amen. So, I have two Drew stories tonight. I don't know how I could have pastored if I hadn't had boys. I got to tell you, that's half of all my stories. And in our house in Florida years ago, when Drew was just a little guy, the vacuum cleaner, Marilee left the vacuum cleaner out in the dining room. And the cord came all the way over to the side. And Drew didn't see me, and I was looking through the French doors going into the dining room, and I'm watching Drew. And Drew has got the vacuum, and he's like, he's making the noise too. And he's doing the vacuuming. It's not plugged in, it's not on. And he, I don't know, Drew was, I don't know, maybe 15, 16? No. He was like three or four. I don't know what he was. But he's there eating, he's vacuuming, and he's making the noise, and he's going at it, man. He's just vacuuming the thing. He doesn't see me. And I'm standing over the side, and I see that cord. And I go, oh, this is just too good. So I pick up the cord, I reach in, and I thought, oh Lord, please, may the switch be on. And I reached over and I plugged it in and the switch was on. And he's going and he starts screaming and he let go. And me running and I'm just saying, oh, that's just the funniest thing in the world. That was like, Daddy, it's going. I said, Well, Drew, it's got power now. You know, I think a lot of us are kind of going through our Christian life this way. And if God ever gave us power, like, whoa, what in the world's happening? You know what? We ought to live with the power of God in our lives. Let me give you three things tonight. We'll be done. Number one, I want you to see the concern for lost power. You know, if you don't have the power of God, you ought to be concerned about that. There ought to be, you know, God, have you lost your edge? With no pun intended tonight, what we're going to talk about. Have you lost your edge? Have you lost your sense of purpose? Have you lost your passion? Have you lost your joy? Hey, folks, have you lost the power of God in your life? You know, lost power is a big deal to the one who doesn't have it. And you should be concerned. I mean, this young man, this preacher boy is like, whoa. Man, he loses that axe head. That's it. We don't do anything. There's nothing I can do now. And you know, that's the concern we ought to have. If we are not experiencing the power of God in our ministry, in our life, in the roles that God has called us to, whether it's a mom, a dad, a worker, whatever roles that we have, we need God's power in that role. And if we're not sensing that power, we ought to be concerned about that. This guy was concerned. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. We got to grow. And by the way, the more growth, the more power. You need, if it's expanding and it's growing, you need more power from God. There needs to be a touch from the Holy Spirit. As things go, you don't start taking things under the flesh and say, hey, God, thanks for helping me. I think I got this now. No. The more things grow, the more you need the power of God. Let us go, we pray thee, unto the Jordan and take thence every man a beam. We're going to all have our responsibility and we're going to all need the power of God. We're only as strong as the weakest member. We're only going to be as good as the weakest person that we have. So we all need the power of God. And let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, hey, I love this. Be content. Hey, Elisha, will you go with us? Will you go? Well, that was a good choice, by the way. And it's a good choice to have the man of God with you. And it's a good choice to make sure that whatever endeavor you have, does not Elisha represent God? Does not Elisha represent Christ? Does not Elisha represent the power of God? And they go, you know what? If we're going to have a building project, Elisha, will you come with us? And whatever we endeavor to do in our walk with the Lord, we ought to make sure that the Lord's coming with us. And boy, are they glad they brought him. Verse number 4, so we went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down the wood. Now, but as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the river. So I got to tell you something. When you're chopping wood, I have always loved chopping. I came from northern Michigan, and we cut our wood to heat our house. So almost all my teen life and everything, I've chopped wood. When we lived on 46th Street, we had a wood-burning stove. They said, you know, Brother Shelley, you ought to get a pellet stove. Yeah, but you can't chop pellets, you know? So I said, no. So Fred Conrad would always take me out, and we'd get wood and bring it back, and then I'd take the chainsaw and cut it, and then I'd split. I just like split. You know, it's really good when you're the dean of students, you like splitting wood, you know? Because you think of, you called each log a student. Yeah! It really worked well. It was a catharsis thing for me, you know, but it was very helpful to me. You know, so I'm not teasing. I did. That's exactly what I did. I would go out and chop wood. And my wife will tell you that too. She said, Jim, I think you need to go chop some wood. And I go, I think I do too. I think I just need to go chop some wood right now. And but I'll tell you one thing, when you're chopping wood, you know when the axe head is not on there. And I had a few fly. We had a trailer, a fifth wheel trailer that was probably 30 yards from the wood pile. There's a couple times I almost hit that trailer with an axe head that flew off that. And it was going, you know, coming down. But you know, when you lose that axe head, it's like nothing's going to happen at that point afterwards. And you know what? Nothing spiritual is ever going to happen without the power of God. Yet it's like, matter of fact, we talked today in class, we talked about metaphors and word pictures today and how important they are. Let me give you a great word picture of the Christian life. Living without the power of God is like chopping wood without an axe head. That's exactly what it is. Try going out and cutting a cord of wood without an axe head, and all you got is the stick, and nothing is going to happen. And I'm going to tell you, eternity and eternal things and spiritual things without the power of God, nothing is going to happen whatsoever. But this is the thing about the story that I love. This man was not doing anything wrong. This man was not, there was no, this guy wasn't, was this guy wrong with God? No. He's just one of the sons of the prophets. He carried his own beam. He was doing what he was supposed to. He was being a part of everything. He had his position. He had his responsibility. He had his ministry. And he's chopping, and his axe head fell off. I have found that sometimes in our Christian experience, it isn't that we go, God, I've lost your power. What sin do I have in my life? You know what? Maybe that's not the key. Maybe there is. You should definitely examine. But, you know, just in the course of doing bus ministry week in and week out, just in the course of being in nursery week in and week out, just in the course of being faithful in your devotions day in and day out, sometimes we lose our edge. Sometimes we lose that power of God. And it's kind of like we're going through the motions, but it's like nothing's really happening. Nothing's going on. You ought to be concerned for lost power. Number 2, the confession of lost power. Man, I like this guy. I'd like to have this guy in one of my classes. I'm telling you, what a great preacher boy this guy is. Look at this, verse 5. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And look at what he does. And he cried and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." Hey, did you ever think about all the things the guy could have done? He's out there, you know, he's chopping the wood, you know, along the side of the Jordan River, you know, he's chopping the wood, da-da-da-da-da, and all of a sudden, phew, oh, boy. Oh, man. Oh, man. The axe head just went. Oh, wow. Well, maybe I can look like I'm busy doing another job. Maybe I can carry some more of these beams over here. Oh, there's Obadiah's axe, and he's not using it right now. Maybe I can take Obadiah's axe and go back to where. Do you ever think about all the things the guy could do? I like this guy. It comes, whoa. Elisha! Elisha! Oh man, am I in big trouble. Elisha! Elisha! I lost my axe head and it's borrowed. It's not me. Hey, you know what? I love this guy. He knew it was gone immediately, and he knew immediately who he needed help from. And when you lose the power of God, you need to confess, "Hey, Lord, I lost it." Look at his three things. These are great. Honesty, humility, and help. His confession of the lost power is just amazing. He is so honest about it. He's not deceiving anything. He's not hiding anything. He's going, "I lost the power. I need God. I am honest. I don't have it right now." And I just love that. He just confessed. You know, you do two things. You either cover something up or you confess it. And he just immediately, his honesty is worth everything. You know what? We've lost that. We just aren't honest anymore. We're just not transparent. We're just so afraid that we would ever look bad. I mean, this guy, he looks terrible. I mean, he just lost his axe head that's not even his. But what does he do? I love it. He's just, "Elisha, I lost it." What humility. It's not even mine. And by the way, what a great statement. The power isn't mine. Anytime I get the power of God, it's not something I've earned or I deserve. It's borrowed. It's not from me. I don't own it. I can't produce it. Elisha, the axe head that I lost, I borrowed. The power that I had does not come from me. I'm swinging the axe, but I'm telling you, the axe head isn't mine. And I want to tell you, it's not your personality, it's not your skills, and it's not your abilities. It's God's power. And I think it's good for us to remember that if God's worked in our lives, that's all borrowed, friend. It is God that has given us anything that we have. And then I just love the help. He went to the right person. He went at the right time. He didn't wait a long time. He immediately yelled it out, and he went with the right motive. Man, I want to get back into the line. I want to keep doing my part. I want to be back in this. Notice the concern for the lost power. Notice the confession of lost power. And then notice the counsel to regain the power. Now, this is really good. Look at what Elisha says to him in verse number 6. And the man of God said, "Everyone together," what are the next three words? And the man of God said what? Everyone together. Where fell it? Where? So Elisha comes over and he says, where fell it? So he comes on over and the preacher boy says, "Well, I think it's somewhere right about where Brother Hale's swimming right now in the Jordan, okay? I think it's like right around in there. I think it was over there. It's right over there? Yeah. That's where I lost it. Yeah, I think it's right there." And you know what? You got to go back to the place where you lost the power. And you got to go back, and that's where you got to get right. You know, so many of us continue trying to do the Lord's work without the Lord's power, and we got to go back to where we lost the power. We got to go back maybe to a person, maybe to a relationship. We got to go back to where we lost it. And now this is the most interesting thing about this story. There's two times in the scriptures that a tree is thrown in water. One time it makes the bitter water sweet at Marah. But the other time is this one. And he takes a tree, a stick, and he throws the stick in the water, and the axe head comes to the surface and starts swimming all the way to the shore, and the guy is able to pick it up. Now, you and I both know what that tree is. That's a picture of the cross. And I want to tell you, if you want God's power again, you go back to the cross. And you go back to what Christ did on that cross. And you look, where did you fell it? Where did you lose the power? And he goes back, and I love that they put the stick. He threw the stick in. Where did you lose your power? Where did you lose your edge? You can't go forward until the past has been dealt with. You got to go back to the spot where you lost God's power. What do you need to do? Well, you need to obey whatever. Notice what he says here. And the man of God said, which fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down. And he cut down a stick and cast it thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, hey, young man, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and he picked it up. He put it back on his axe and he's on his way again. You know what? We may need a fresh encounter with the power of God. Maybe you haven't had much of a concern, you know, you're just kind of going through the motions and you haven't been that concerned about it. Well, I hope you get concerned and then confess. I love this young man's confession. Man, he's so honest, he's so humble, and he's so needy. He just needs help. Elisha, you got to help me. And Elisha says, where did you leave it? Where did it go into the water? And then you put the tree in there, you get it taken care of, and you get that power going again. So I told you I had two stories on Drew. I just love this story. I think the story means more to me than any time I ever give it to anybody, but it was just one of those times I just remembered. We had a swimming pool in our backyard, and we had three sons, Ben, Luke, and Drew. And there was an age difference between Ben and Luke, about 3 years, and then between Ben and Drew, there was like 9 years difference. And they all had friends. They all had bunches of friends. And everyone came over to the Shetler house. We had a trampoline. We had a basketball court. We had a little area where they could make a little football field. We had pecan trees that are great for tree forts. We just had a big pile of dirt. I had church members come over and said, Pastor, you want us to move that dirt? And I said, don't you touch that dirt. That dirt's for my boys to play in, you know? And so we had all kinds of things in the... Okay, another axe head I pick up. Wow, how about that one? Yeah, I like that. Okay, just tell me when you're gonna add to my message, Jason, okay? I had no idea, but that worked out really well right then. So I remember one day I was in the backyard, or no, I'm looking out the window, and the kids are laughing too hard. Okay, there is that laugh that like, oh, they're having a good time. And then there's that laugh like, okay, they're doing something wrong. Okay, and so I'm looking out the window and I'm seeing these kids way up in the air and going in the swimming pool. And I'm going, I mean, they must have the trampoline over there. But like, how are they getting that high?
And so I come around to the side, and they got the trampoline underneath the awning of the roof. And they got the ladder, and they're up on the roof. And they're running off the roof, jumping on the trampoline, and then jump and then going into the pool. Well, I had to say when I saw it, I said, okay, that's really cool. But I don't think my insurance covers that, okay? So we cannot do that. So I had to come out, no, guys, you can't be doing that. Get that trampoline away from the house. No, you guys can't do that. So what I did was with the boys, they all had swimming days during the summer. So Ben had swimming days, Luke had swimming days, where he could have his friends over. I did not want to mix them all together, but there was one day, I don't know what I was thinking, but they all came to me. Dad, I know it's not my swimming day. You know, Ben, you know, he could argue anything. And he said, but Dad, can I have my friends over? It's so hot out. It's hot every day, you know. But anyways, I go, yeah, okay, you can bring your friends over. And then Luke says, Dad, can I have my friends too? I know it's Drew's day. And I said, okay, yeah, you can do it. So they all got their, everyone's there. So there's about 15 kids in the pool. And they range from age 5 to age 6. Okay, so this is not a good scenario. And I'm out, it's my day to mow the lawn. So I'm out mowing the lawn. And as I'm mowing the lawn, the young people, all these kids in my pool are playing the stupidest game the world has ever known. I mean, it is absolutely the stupidest game. Marco, Polo, Marco, Polo. I said, that is like so stupid. I mean, that is just a crazy. And by the way, the older teens all have their eyes open. Nobody's got their eyes closed, except for the little 6-year-olds that can't find anybody, you know. And I said, hey, Ben, Luke, come on, guys, you guys all play right. Come on, play right. So, you know, as soon as you correct them, they don't want to play that anymore, you know. So they play the second stupidest game, and they start playing chicken, where they get on the shoulders. Well, now that could really have been a cool thing. The older boys, the 15-year-old boys, put the little 6-year-olds on their shoulders, and they could have had the time of their life. But that is not what they did. They put 15-year-olders on 15-year-olders, and they put the 9-year-olders on the 9-year-olders, and they get the 6-year-olders on the 6-year-olders. Now, let me tell you something about my little guy, Drew. He's just like the most little athletic guy you ever want to meet. But he's like a runt compared to his friends. There's a guy, you're going to love this one. He had a friend. His name was Michael. You know what his last name was? Getch. Yeah, Dr. Getch's little nephew, who's 6'6" today. And when he was 6 years old, I think he was 6'1". I mean, the kid was huge. Michael Getch lived over at our house. He played with Drew all the time. There was a boy named Adam Purcell. Adam Purcell was as wide as he was high. I mean, he was like a bowling ball. I mean, he was just a big kid. Every kid. There's another boy there. His name's Grant Tuma. Grant Tuma today is 6'4", and he's a weightlifter. I mean, these kids were huge. And then there was Drew. So Drew's 6 years old, you got all these people in this pool, and Drew is drowning. They're playing this stupid game. Marco Polo was better than this. Drew's drowning, and I'm like, hey, Ben, Luke, come on, guys. Come on, play right. Come on, guys, don't drown those little kids. You know, and I'm going, well, they don't change, so my little son's going to drown. I said, you know, that's enough of this. So I go in the house, change my clothes, I get my swim trunks on, and I come on out, and I say, hey guys, Pastor Shetler! Pastor Shetler coming in with us! Oh, okay. So I jumped in, what you guys doing? We're playing chicken. You want to play? I said, yeah, Drew, come here. So I get Drew. Drew comes on over. I said, Drew, get up on my shoulder. So Drew gets up on my shoulder. I said, Drew, just hold on, okay? Just hold on. I said, okay, Dad, okay, so just hold on. Well, let me just tell you what just happened. Drew just went from the weakest kid in that pool to the strongest kid in that pool because he was on his dad's shoulders. And so we go over, then we start, you know, the 15-year-olders come on over and say, now, so what do you do? We try and knock each other's off. I said, Drew, just hold on, okay? He said, okay, come on over here. And I get, Pastor, what? This is what we do. We baptize and we immerse. Pastor, come on, guys. Come on over here.
Ben's going like, Dad,
what? Get over here. Well, I got to tell you something. That day, they learned something. Drew's dad's stronger than they are. And I want to tell you something. Drew went from the weakest person with no power to the strongest person when he got up on his Abba's shoulders and he held on to his Abba. And I want to tell you this. Some of us just need a fresh encounter with the power of God, and here's how to do it. Just get up on your Father's shoulders and cry out to him and hold on for everything you're worth. And I guarantee you, God will give you a fresh encounter with the power of God. Find out where the axe fell and get it, and let's get going. Be concerned, make a confession, and the counsel is go to where you lost it and ask your Abba Father to give you fresh power.